Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you, everybody. And matter of fact, we would really love to welcome your calls right now to 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, so if you have a question or some troubling issue you're dealing with, we'd love to hear from you right now. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob, and we certainly would love to hear from some of our listeners today, so go ahead and pick up that phone, dial that toll-free number right now. Be a part of the Basic Gospel broadcast. You can help produce the show, send it down a path that or a subject that is important to you, so we would love to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That's the heart and soul of the Christian message of Christianity. Without the resurrection, we're to be pitied of all people. Our preaching is in vain. Our faith is futile. All of those sort of things. But we do know, in fact, that Christ was raised from the dead. Now, what does that mean? Well, I love what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 7. And he's talking about Jesus, and he's talking about Jesus as our high priest. And he's comparing the fact that he's out of the order of Melchizedek, unlike Aaron, who was a part of the Levitical tribe and the Levitical priesthood. So this is a much better priesthood that we have in Jesus Christ. And he talks about this. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek was an obscure figure in the Old Testament. He showed up in Abraham's life after Abraham had defeated some kingdoms, and he was coming back with the spoils. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the king of righteousness, shows up, and Abraham blesses him and gives him a tenth of the spoils. Now, we know nothing about Melchizedek. We don't know how he came to be. We don't know anything after this particular story. And Jesus is coming in the likeness of Melchizedek, or actually Melchizedek is a type of Jesus. Yes. So he's foreshadowing what Jesus was going to do. So he has become a priest. Jesus has become a priest, not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent. That's how the Levitical priests were named, by legal requirements concerning their bloodline, their ancestry. And if you were born into a Levitical priesthood's home, then that's what you were going to be when you grew up. It was going to be handed over to you. That was part of the law. Now, Jesus was different. Why? Because he came from a different tribe, the tribe of Judah. But he was made a priest by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus Christ isn't going to let go of his priestly duties.
Right.
He is going to carry those out forever. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, since he always lives to make intercession for you and for me. That's his job as a priest in the order of Melchizedek. But he holds that office because of an indestructible life. And the resurrection is what gives us the proof that his is an indestructible life. Death could not hold him in a ground. Sin could not overpower him. As a matter of fact, he conquered sin and death through the death, burial, and through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we know that he has an indestructible life. And guess what? He has given us that indestructible life. He has come to live inside of us. So we have the confidence. We have the assurance of this, that because he lives, we live.
Yes.
And since Jesus's life is indestructible, he is never going to die again. So what does that mean for you and for me who are in Christ? That we're never going to die. Now, these bodies, they're going to die, but not us. We're alive together with Christ. When we die, we go immediately to be with him, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And one day we're going to put on resurrected bodies just as he did.
Yes.
So Jesus has an indestructible life. Jesus has given his life to us. That means we have an indestructible life. That is one of the wonderful benefits, this assurance that we can have as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Great thoughts, Bob. Thank you for sharing that. And friends, thank you for being with us. We'd love to address your question or your particular need right now on this edition of Basic Gospel. And you can call in right now, 844-322-2742. That number, of course, is good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now, because as I always say, this is Basic Gospel. Well, maybe 2.5 days left in this resurrection month, and it's a great time for your friends to say thank you for what Jesus has done for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. You can say thanks by making a generous gift to keep his message going forward on the air and online. It's, it's one thing to come out and say that there was a resurrection, but where is the proof? How can people who have open minds and hearts get proof to resolve any doubt that they might have? Well, as you make your gift this month, we want to send you a copy of our CD, Proof the Resurrection. And the title tells exactly what it's all about. It's our way of saying thanks for your partnership with us here at Basic Gospel. And by the end of Friday, we really need to hear from you. As Bob said, we have a pretty significant nut to crack there financially before the end of this month. And we want you to be a part of the blessing of making that happen. And I'll have Bob talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. But again, right now, you can go and donate at basicgospel.net. BasicGospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage, and we would love to hear from you. We would love for you to partnership with us here at Basic Gospel. Well, again, that number, 844-322-2742. Give us a call, friends. We want to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start in Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Scott, who's listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hi, gentlemen. Hey, really enjoy your show. Praise God for what you're doing. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Scott. We appreciate that word of encouragement.
Amen. Amen. Listen, I wish I had my Bible in front of me. I just got off work. I'm driving home, and I told myself the next time I'm available, I'm going to call you guys. I was reading Psalm 22, and, as I'm reading it, and again, I don't have it in front of me, it seems like David's going in and out, kind of like Ezekiel 28, where it goes to, I think it's Ezekiel 28, where it goes to, he's talking to the king of Tyre, and then he's talking about Lucifer. It almost seems like in Psalm 22, David's sharing some personal experience, but then he's also talking about Jesus. And I was wondering, is this a dream he had? Is this just a prophecy right there that's being fed to him as he's writing? Because he didn't go through all those things. Some of it he did go through, but some of it's what Jesus went through. So I'm just kind of confused. It looks like he's kind of, I'm schizophrenic and so am I. He's kind of going in and out of first and second person. I was just kind of curious of your thought.
Well, Scott, I think that's a great question. And, a lot of what we read in the Old Testament certainly has application to their current situation. So David is just in the Psalms, it's kind of sharing his heart, is talking about some of the trials and tribulations that he goes through, some of the thinking that he has, the faith that he has, the trust that he has in Jesus, in God, to get him through this. But we also know, as Jesus made clear on several different occasions in his ministry, that all of what the prophets and the law and the writings, and that would include Psalms and Proverbs and the Song of Solomon and Job, all of those, the whole Old Testament, was the story of Jesus. It was really God's testimony concerning Jesus Christ, the Son. So this psalm is a perfect example of that. And Jesus made that clear when on the cross he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's exactly how Psalm 22 begins. And this really is a description of the type of death that he suffered. And it's a description of basically Roman crucifixion, which hadn't come into being when David penned these words. So Jesus was pointing back and saying, hey, If you read the Old Testament, if you read those scriptures, if you read the law, if you read the prophets, if you read the writings, you will see that they are predicting my sufferings, but they're also predicting my victory, that I am going to be raised back to life, and that victory is won through what I am accomplishing. So, yes, this is a psalm that is prophetic, that is speaking about the death of Jesus Christ and the type of death that he was going to suffer, and the fact that he quoted the very first verse of this while he was on the cross kind of underscores that this was a prophecy about him.
Okay. Awesome. I appreciate your guys' help so much.
You are so welcome, Scott. Thanks for your call. Great question. We appreciate it. Well, let's stick with our phones and go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and talk with David. Hi, David.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. How are you, my friend?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you. Hey, from the Old Testament, okay, now, I believe God guided the people in the Old Testament, and I believe he guides the people in the New Testament. But there's a scripture that says God can give you the desires of your heart, okay? And I was wondering, how does that relate to the Old Testament, whereas they didn't have, you know, the Bible or the, you know, or did they have scriptures or?
They did have scriptures. They had, the prophets would come bringing the word of God to them, and then those prophets would pen the very words of God in the books that we now have under their names. And certainly Moses, during his lifetime, he wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, the Torah, or the law that we would know of it. So, yeah, they would have some writings, and then they would have the oral traditions that they would pass along from one generation to the next. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was a big, huge part of their story from, you know, the times of the law, when that law was given, all the way forward.
Okay. I, because I was just wondering, because I think it was Abraham, God told Abraham he was going to have a child. And that was a promise, right?
Yes, that was a promise. And that was a promise fulfilled both in Abraham's day, and the fact that Isaac became the child of promise when Abraham and Sarah were very old. And if you read what Paul had to say about that in Romans chapter 4, they had reached a point where it was humanly impossible for them to give birth, for Sarah to conceive. And yet God brought that about by his power, by his might. He delivered on that promise. And so Isaac became the special son of promise to Abraham and Sarah. And then God gave the same promise to Isaac, and then it went to Jacob, and all the way in its ultimate fulfillment, that promise of Abraham, its ultimate fulfillment was in Christ. He was the seed of Abraham, and it's through Jesus that the entire world is blessed. And we are blessed with eternal life. We're blessed with the gift of God's Spirit. We are blessed with a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he was that promised son that God was really referring to when he gave that promise to Abraham.
Okay, amen. Because I'm just wondering, because of the desires of the heart, I wonder how many people in the Old Testament were, God promised them, you know.
Well, I think certainly, quite a number of them experienced that. But I think it's important, David, for us to understand that he'll give you the desires of the heart has a context. And the context is this: delight yourself in the Lord. And it's much like what John wrote in his first letter, that if you ask anything according to God's will, he will hear you. We have the confidence that he will hear us, and that what we have asked, he will give to us. But it's according to God's will.
It's not a shopping list. That
yeah,
we
that's right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
so
okay.
So it's delighting in the Lord. Then the desires of the heart are aligned with God's desires.
I got you.
And that's one way to look at it. And the other side of the coin: delight yourself in the Lord, and God will put His desires in your heart. He will give you His desires.
Okay.
So, and that's what you and I have. When the Spirit of God came to live inside of you, David, the Spirit mm-hmm. gave you a whole new set of desires. It's called mm-hmm. the desires okay. of the
Good.
Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, you do not carry out the desires of the flesh.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Okay, thanks, guys. Yes, perfect. Thanks, guys.
You are welcome,
okay.
David. Thanks for your
All
call.
Right.
We appreciate it.
You're
yeah,
welcome.
That's a great question. And, Bob, you know, we told our listeners about the need for support by the end of this Resurrection Month here at Basic Gospel. Where do we stand on that?
Well, we still need a little help, but, my goodness, thank you for all the generous outpouring that has happened over the last 5 or 6 or 10 days. We just so greatly appreciate it. We still need about 15,000 between now and Friday. That's not an insurmountable amount.
No,
I mean,
all.
It's as far as God is concerned, that's a drop in the bucket. Well, let's trust God to provide that drop and see him meet that need, and that will be a big help to Basic Gospel and will keep us rolling along in a way that we need to do.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that this message of grace goes out. It's a message that's not readily heard. It's not readily taught. It's not readily preached. We talk about the gospel in very limited terms, but here's a broadcast that's really diving deeply into the gospel and what it means to you and me. And this gospel, it contains the power of God unto salvation. And we think it's important to get it out.
Yeah,
and
indeed.
I think when people hear it and respond to it and are saved, they are grateful that somebody delivered it to them. So you can help deliver this gospel message to people all around the world. And we would greatly appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, just punch that donate button right there on our homepage at basicgospel.net. And we would love for you to join us, partner with us, and see this need met by this Friday.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines to Mesquite, Texas, to Beck, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Beck.
Hey, Beck.
Hey, hi. So my question is, did Jesus ever drink alcohol? And if he did, when and where?
Well, there's not a particular passage. I mean, when he holds the Passover feast or Passover supper with his disciples, and he raises the cup, he says, "This is the cup of the New Testament poured out in my blood." That would have been a cup of wine. Certainly we see him turning water into wine at the wedding feast at Cana. So, you know, just the culture of the day, kind of wine, the fruit of the vine was the drink of choice. You know, they didn't have a lot of clean water and that sort of thing. So, wine was the appropriate drink, back in that day. So we just reading in that, I mean, you're not going to see a particular verse that said, and Jesus took this and drank the wine. But it seems implied throughout the story. Now I know there are many pastors that would say in some particular denominations that Jesus's lips never touched alcohol. They think that would be just horrendous if he did. But there's no prohibition against drinking wine. The only thing that's said in the New Testament or in the Word is don't be drunk with wine. That's the prohibition, and that's the admonition there. So why do you ask this, Beck?
Well, I was talking with my son, and that topic came up, and I told him that I really wasn't sure that I will find out and get back with him.
Okay. Well, one, it's great that you're having a conversation with your son. I think that's vitally important. You know, alcohol today, it's a big question. Should we drink? Should we not? Can we drink? Can we not drink? And we're looking at it from a legalistic standpoint. What does the law say? What does God require or not require? And just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And that's not how this new life in Christ operates. We're to be motivated, compelled by the love of Christ Jesus. And so on those issues of food or drink, it becomes a matter of liberty. So we're at liberty to have a glass of wine or a bottle of beer or whatever it may be, but we have to ask the question, is that the best decision? Is that the wise decision? Is that a decision that is compelled by the love of God? So we want to temper our liberty by the very love of God. So if you're in a situation where somebody has struggled with alcoholism, it's a temptation, you're not going to want to flaunt your liberty in front of them. Love would dictate otherwise. So you need to be concerned. And then there's the sake of the gospel. And a lot of times we make decisions, we limit our liberties for the sake of the gospel. We say, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to hinder the gospel from going forth out there in the world. And I think when you make a decision based on that, it's a lasting decision. It's meaningful because it goes beyond whether you can or can't drink. Does that make sense?
Yes, it totally makes sense. Wow, thank you so much.
You are welcome, Beck. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. And keep talking to your son. That just does my heart really good to know that you're having those conversations. How old is he?
He's 25.
25. Yeah. Well, it's great that y'all are having that conversation now. Fantastic. Keep it up, okay?
Wow, thank you so much.
Thanks, Beck. You call anytime, and God bless you.
Yes, indeed. It's good to see calls on the screen today, Bob. We really, you know, we're basically here every day to address the needs of our listeners, and when they call, we can do that. So
that's right.
It's a very good thing. So we appreciate hearing from our listeners. And friends, thank you for being here for this edition of Basic Gospel. Please remember, friends, that as we approach the end of the month, which, of course, is coming up this Friday, just, day after tomorrow, well, we still have some ground to cover. I think, what did you say, Bob? 10,000-15,000 still to go? About 15 to go? And so, friends, let's step up. Let's make this happen by the end of the month. This is Resurrection Month, the end of Resurrection Month, and I do think there's a better way to say thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done for each one of us through his death, burial, and resurrection than to make a gift to further his message going forward and going out all over the world, as a matter of fact. So it's vital that we meet this need to cover airtime and other expenses associated with bringing Basic Gospel to you each day. And when you make your gift, we have a great resource we'd like to send you as our way of saying thanks for your support. It's called Proof, the Resurrection. So be sure to request your copy when you click donate at basicgospel.net. Basicgospel.net, our home site, and just click that prominent donate link right there. And for those of you who hear Basic Gospel overnight, remember, you can get your questions to us by voicemail at 844-322-2742, our regular number, and we'll welcome your calls and address your question on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, Thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll look forward to seeing you for another edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. See you then. Bye-bye.